Charlie and a few of their friends, chug a couple beers and talk politics. It's better with your two beers in.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Two Beers In.
Hi, I'm Cody Lindquist.
I'm Charlie Todd.
We're your hosts for today. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, we have a live show at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater in the East Village once a month. And we also podcast from our home in the off time.
Which is where we are now. It is 4:20, April 20th. It's the day after the New York primary.
And the weed holiday.
Yep.
What's the technical term for it?
Weed holiday is a technical term.
I smoke so much pot.
Pot festivals.
We are not going to be two joints in. We are going to be two beers in.
We're sticking with it.
Two guests here. Excited. Brett White and Tabitha Lear here.
Brett White is a writer and assistant editor for Comic Book Resources. Tabitha Lee is an actress. And they are both probably of our friends, the most media nerds like us. We have a lot of back and forths on Twitter during election coverage and tweets and texts.
So we're going to now chug two beers. We're going to pause the recording.
We're drinking Firestone's Easy Jack IPA.
Yep, Firestone Walker out of San Francisco. It is a session IPA, 4.5%. That's the style we've been tending towards on this show because there's not too much alcohol, but it's flavorful.
So what do you say, Brett, Tabitha, are you ready to get two beers in?
Let's get crazy. Let's open them up. And audience, we'll see you after we chug these two. Okay, we're back.
We're two beers in.
Three of us are two beers in. Tabitha is still working.
A beer and three quarters.
Guys, so Tabitha is rubbing her rib cage as if
she's
very uncomfortable. She's claiming it's because she's Asian and she's having a hard time drinking. But
she didn't say that.
She did.
Brett.
I'll play that card later.
Brett, you said you didn't drink a lot in college. Have you ever chugged a beer before in your life?
No. My thing, senior year of college, the like month overlap of when I drank for the first time and graduating was I would get like a 40 of Mike's Hard Lemonade. chug that. So well, not like, slowly, like sip on that slowly.
Oh man!
Dear God.
Did you chug beer in college? The answer is I sipped on a 40 of Mike's Hard Lemonade. So how do you feel now, having chugged two beers? Excuse me.
It was rough. I mean, I now stick to mostly like cidery things. Mm-hmm. So like IPAs are different from ciders.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this was a session IPA, but I feel like it was very flavorful and it was a lot of work.
I felt really proud that this was your first beer chugging experience.
Might be mine too, actually.
Really? Yeah. Tabitha, yours too?
Yeah, I went to drama school. We don't chug beers.
I went to drama school and so did Charlie. I recall chugging a lot of beers and a lot of Franzia.
I went to NYU. That's what it is. We were chugging sake or something.
That's what
like
I said.
That.
Were you guys like doing cocaine?
We were doing like martinis.
Fancy.
So, as Tabitha is finishing her second beer, we're going to get started. I guess we first want to talk about the primaries and ask everybody who they voted for.
Brad. Oh, or listen, if you're one of those like people,
you shouldn't be
like
on the show if you don't want to say who you voted for. Sorry,
but just certain people in the Democratic race make it really hard to talk about who you want to talk about on the internet.
So, Brad, who did you end up voting for?
I voted for Hillary.
Thank
you voted
God.
For Hillary. Okay, so I think all of us voted for Hillary. I've been saying in this podcast from the beginning that I was undecided. So
this is the big episode for you guys then. Because like the entire thesis is kind of you guys have been on the fence. And
well, I came
Cody,
out. I came
yeah,
out.
You came
last
out.
Week.
Yeah, you,
Cody came out as being for her. I'm coming out now. I was for her. I am for her. I love Bernie. If I do the YouGov survey, I match up with Bernie a few percentage points more than Hillary. But I think that his numbers don't add up. I don't think we're going to have 5% growth every year to pay for everything. And I think that Hillary has more experience and, I don't know. I'm glad that Bernie's been in the race. I'm glad that he's pushed her so far to the left because I got to tell you, I like the Hillary that I voted for yesterday better than the Hillary a year ago.
I was delighted watching her victory speech last night.
God.
I was just delighted. I feel like I might have like got one of them like misty tear eye thing at some point.
Yeah, when she dropped like the Sandy Hook mom daughter who like at the end and you're like, whoa, this is not an upper. This is definitely a downer ending, but still very
opening our third beers on Sandy Hook. I was like, oh, gee, we're going to bring up Sandy Hook. I got to have another drink.
In addition to having the Sandy Hook thing, she also had the, like, and then I went out to Mikey's ice cream place. You guys know Mikey. She had, like, a really funny, like, she was like, they put that ice cream in front of me, and I just had to eat it right there.
Wait,
just,
what is Mikey's ice cream?
Well, it was, she was talking about, she met an ex-con named Mikey who went to jail and got out and had a hard time finding a job. So he started his own business of an ice cream store. And that's, I guess, the place where she went to where someone in the crowd asked her, like, aren't you worried about calories? And Hillary just flat out went like, boo, bad question. That's like, that's, I love that.
Well, one thing that I love, there was a comment, she made a comment about liking hot sauce. Did you see this?
Yeah.
So she was on a African-American radio show, I think.
Yeah.
And they said something like, what do you have in your purse? And she's like, I always have hot sauce. And everyone was like, oh, pandering. She's like talking to black
people. Is that
people.
A thing? Black people like hot sauce? I didn't know that was
Beyonce.
A thing.
Isn't it? It's information,
it's
right?
It's information. Yeah. It's like her new big song that was huge. And it's like, I've got hot sauce in my bag, swag. Yeah. It's a thing.
Got it.
Thing.
I will
like
also
Louisiana
say,
thing.
A guy that I dated that was from Louisiana also always had Tabasco on him. He had like a little like Tabasco key ring thing.
Was he white or black?
White.
Okay. Well, I have a lot of you know, East Asian friends. Yeah. Like, you know.
I mean, I don't have
You have sriracha on your bag at all times.
They look like earrings and sriracha too.
But they did all this fact checking and it's true. She actually has hot sauce in her purse. Like she's
Back 20 years. She's been talking about this.
They grew peppers at the White House.
Where is she? Which one is her home state? She's from Arkansas.
A
lot of home states this.
But she's actually from Arkansas. Is she not?
No.
She's not. Bill's from Arkansas. Oh yeah.
Where is she from?
She's from Chicago. She's got a Midwestern draw.
Yeah, she's from Illinois.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they
met in New York.
In college.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah?
They met in school.
Oh, at law school.
Yeah.
At Yale.
She has ties to
She
all
went to
56.
Wellesley, I think.
Yeah, but they met later, I think.
So here's what I want to ask.
She's not claiming Arkansas is the bottom line.
No.
For Brett and Tabitha, was it a hard decision? Like, when did you know you were for Hillary?
It was a hard decision for a while because, like, I actually did go back and forth a bunch because for a while there was the, for a while I was going to go Bernie just because I thought that Bernie would be the person that would easily draw, like, Trump crazies would also vote for Bernie. They would never vote for Clinton. So I was like, if it's close, there's more, like swaying back between Trump and Bernie than there is between Clinton and Bernie. But then over the past couple of weeks, as soon as Bernie Sanders called her unqualified to be president, I was like, fuck this.
Oh, so it came down to the wire for you.
I was like, no. Recent. I was like, no. Yeah, but I'm also like, I'm a gay man, so I feel like it's like I'm inclined to go with
Clinton. There is that stereotype. I have a question. As a gay man, why do they love Hillary so much?
It's a thing that I should do reading on because there is like a weird or a correlation between like gay men and like strong female characters in fiction.
Gay men love me, I'll just say. Yeah. And I am a strong female.
It's got a lot of sass.
One of the things that I personally love about Hillary is that I feel like you can't fuck with her. You can't mess with her. And I feel like I was getting my finger going now. I just feel like I just like that she has been through the shit is still here 30 years later after everyone tried to take her down. And she just like shrugging shit off like that. The meme of her on her BlackBerry with the sunglasses is great. And like her Benghazi eye rollings, like fucking great. Like,
love it.
So I think
2 weeks ago, you were maybe going to vote for Bernie.
And it was all like pragmatic, like strategizing thing. Cause it's like, I don't fucking want a Donald Trump president.
So you like both and you wanted to make the choice that could win. Because
I do like both. Like, I do think, like, I feel like most Hillary people are like, we're also fine with Bernie. Whereas Bernie supporters are stoking these like never Hillary kind of.
That is true.
And that's
been a turnoff.
Bubble, but it feels that way.
That's been a turnoff to me for Bernie that there is a percentage of his supporters, not all.
No, not all.
Maybe it's 20%. I don't know, but they are vocal, who make these never Hillary statements. And I don't know that I've seen very many Hillary supporters who are. I mean, they're very passionate for Hillary and don't vote for Bernie, vote for Hillary, but not never Bernie.
Yeah. So I think that she's not qualified. She's not qualified because she does all the things that every politician does. There's been like a real vibe of like, oh, we don't own a TV in our house to a lot of this stuff.
I will say anybody like, who doesn't have a TV in their house is voted for Bernie.
Yeah, exactly. It's like,
now I'm not saying that all Bernie voters don't have a TV, but anybody that doesn't have a TV
and uses that as like a point of pride.
Yeah.
There's a lot of just like,
oh, you know, people that don't have a TV that don't talk about it.
So Tabitha, how about for you?
I've known since I was 13 years old. She's been my hero
since
I was fucking reading Sassy Magazine and trying to figure out Susan Faludi's backlash because it was hard to read. But
was this when she was like first lady? Like when that happened? Like, right.
Yeah, like that whole Monica Lewinsky thing, her, you know, healthcare push, like her wearing a terrible black scrunchie at some point. Like,
I remember that scrunchie.
I would tell that story. I don't know.
All of her fashion faux pas and the fact that, like, the media would just get on her. Like, just, like, fucking... It was just...
Was it a bad scrunchie? I don't know about the scrunchie.
She just had, she had like a scrunchie in her head, and I was just like, really
"Oh yeah,
dumb
she you don't know that
at like
she
a steak dinner or something." No, I went on the story.
You can, it was like can, something.
You can Google scrunchie. All of her fashion faux pas.
She was wearing like
amazing.
A velvet dress with a scrunchie.
'90s. Oh, she had like this off the shoulder black velvet dress for like a steak dinner or something, and she was just skewered.
Yeah,
skewered like. Yeah, she showed her shoulders as
this
first
is like,
lady.
I don't want to. I hate making this discuss, like, but we're drunk and I'm going to bring it up, but girl looks good. She, she's the first serious female candidate to run for president. And I am loving her fashion choices.
Love it.
I love when she wears the leather jackets.
Yes.
Give them black leather jackets.
Because I was thinking, these guys have it so easy. They show up, different tie.
Like red tie or a blue tie.
Penny suit.
And like, she has a very difficult thing. She has to look serious, but stylish.
Patriarchal society, guys, has made it to where like men can just like have two suits, just rotate them ties out.
Yep. Yeah.
Whereas like women, there's no equivalent with women.
And there's no template of like what she's
there's no default.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'll just wear the thing that all women wear.
PBS had that like feminism documentary where they were talking about when women first entered the workforce in like the early 80s, like late 70s, where it's like where they started like entering like the high power workforce. Like, what do we wear?
Yeah.
Like, it's always been like Donna Reed pearls because we're always at home.
Mm-hmm.
What is this? And so like I love Hillary.
Yeah. She's made some really, really interesting fashion choices and I don't love them all, but I just love the fact that she is like not sitting by and wearing a drab old thing. She is like really like
bright colors.
Yeah, she's thinking about it.
Back
it's
to the calorie
great.
Thing. I love the fact that she's transitioned to these coats that are outfits, but they're really just coats.
Oh, yeah.
But it's okay. It's lime green. I'm okay with the acid green. She totally got skewered for wearing.
I love
green.
Whenever there's a State of the Union address and you see the House divided with the Democrats on one side and the Republicans on one side. The Republicans are all just like navy and black.
Yep.
Because they're all men.
And because they're literally all men except for like two people. And then you look on the other side and there's just all these bright colors from all, you know, the representatives and the senators that are women.
Literally facially skin tone colors.
Also diversity in face.
Obama did get a little bit of that heat when he wore that like tan suit.
Oh god.
That beige tan like
and his mom jeans.
Dude, Obama should just wear like a purple pimp suit like during the lame duck.
I just want him just like
just to piss them off. Be like, I am black.
Tweety bird jackets.
I'm literally the black men are pimps. That's
Tweety
not what
bird
I meant.
Jackets.
I just meant to wear something.
His final press conference dinner? Why my brain is...
Correspondence
dinner. Yeah. His final one's coming up. And MSNBC is running ads for it as if it's like, I don't know, like his comedy special coming up. Like, they've been running like all of his zingers.
It should be, because he is the funniest.
He's the funniest president.
We touch him so much.
He's
like, give him his whole hour. It's great.
So I will say that I think a big turning point for me with Bernie, and I've always been kind of lean Hillary for the last several months. I think when this campaign started, I was like, oh, Bernie's running. That's hilarious. Bernie's awesome. I agree with him on everything. I can't wait to vote for him. That's going to be so much fun. Thinking he had no chance of winning, it would be like in 2004 when I voted for Dennis Kucinich, just to send a message that there are crazy liberals like me out there.
When you voted for Nader. That was a mistake.
All right.
Everyone's going to vote for Jill Stein, apparently, all the Bernie bros. Who? Jill Stein. Who's Jill Stein?
Oh, yeah, yeah, Green Party.
Oh, oh I thought she was like a reality TV show star or something.
Yeah.
I mean, some of his supporters have been a turnoff to me. Anybody who is going to vote in the general election for whoever the hell Jill Stein is, that's a huge turnoff. And then also, like, there was a big Bernie rally in New York this week, and I was looking at photos on Gothamist of the rally, and there was a few people had a sign that somebody had clearly made and distributed with a big picture of Bernie, and it said, "Finally, a reason to vote." Okay. I was like, you know, come on. Like, if you don't vote for mayor, if you don't vote in local elections, if you don't vote in every presidential election, even if your favorite candidate is not there, if you don't at least pick the lesser of two evils, then fuck you. Yeah. And, you know, like,
the revolution is voting in off years.
Yeah, I'm
like, the revolution isn't immediately jumping towards, like, guns and pitchforks, which I feel like a lot of the most extreme Bernie Sanders advocates seem to be advocating for is like, we want white men, basically. Straight white men.
Yes, the Bernie bros.
Yeah. Or your Susan Sarandons, although she stepped back on that a little
bit. Did she? She's been pushing so hard. Yeah. I don't know.
When
she step up yesterday?
She said, what'd she say?
I mean, on Bill Maher on Friday, she was still kind of like saying that maybe she was going to vote for Hillary in the general election.
If it comes down to Hillary or Trump and you don't vote for Hillary, then you are the problem.
I get it. I'm gonna get angry. But I do get when you have that question. If it's your candidate and you're passionate about them, you want them to win. And if you say, well, yeah, I'll vote for Hillary too, you're basically saying I don't believe in my candidate. So it is sort of an annoying question. It's like, yeah, I hope. I feel like they should all just be like, yeah, of course we're going to vote for the other person. Like,
yeah.
I think for Susan Sarandon, it's all about fracking. And fracking is a very, very hard issue for everyone.
She voted and supported Ralph Nader in 2000. Basically denying Al Gore the fucking presidency. Do you understand how different our environment would be?
It's her one vote.
No, but
well, she was a super delegate voter.
What office does she hold?
Susan Sarandon has 20,000 votes.
She's a governor.
But that did make a big difference. And I think, like, you might look at Al Gore or you might look at Hillary Clinton and say they're establishment or whatever, but Al Gore has proven that he is very passionate about the environment post presidency because they all
made a whole documentary about it.
Can you believe that?
That was like, 12 years ago?
Yeah.
It's insane that, like, that the inconvenient truth was unearthed so long and we still are sitting on our hands about it.
Well, if he were president instead of Bush, we maybe would have had solar panels instead of a war.
If we could get Merrick Garland on that fucking court.
Guys, I have such a weird kind of crush on Merrick Garland.
Oh my God, he's adorable.
This is what's going to happen when
Why do you have a crush on Merrick Garland? Merrick Garland, I mean, he's kind of like a center-left person.
I literally
like his longer hair?
And I just literally don't know anything about Merrick Garland except the fact that he's like, every time he talks on television, he cries.
Oh, really?
And I find,
wait, has it more? I know in the Rose Garden, he cried.
I also watched, like, the day that he was announced, they, like, had, like, a little document, like, 3-minute, like, get to know Merrick Garland thing that the White House released.
Uh-huh.
And I watched that, and he also started crying there about his wife and kids.
And he's a John Boehner type.
It's so, like, and also at his speech, like, Obama was like, and he had to sell his comic book collection to get through law school. And then Merrick Garland behind him, like, touched his heart and was like, oh, like, yeah, it was so hard to sell my comic collection.
Oh, that's why you like him.
And then every time they cut the footage of him on MSNBC, like, just waiting patiently for anyone to meet with him. Literally anyone to meet him. He just looks so like, hey guys, I'm right here.
I love that he's the one example of a white, older, very qualified male being disenfranchised. Because he never would have been a nominee ever. In any other situation, it would have been some Indian person or
woman. He looks so sweet, and also the fact that he is getting such a runaround, and it just makes it's very Charlie Brownie. Like, it's very like, aww, I feel so bad for him.
I hope he knew. I hope Obama called him and was like, "Hey man, I'm gonna nominate you. It ain't gonna happen. This is mostly politics. I hope it happens, but just to prepare you, it's probably not gonna happen."
Lindsey Graham met with him today.
Really?
Did he?
Good. And then he said, he's an exceptional human being or something, but the next president should nominate. It was like, why are you meeting with him?
The voice of the people really should decide.
I'm also more on board with Lindsey Graham than I've ever been in my life, too.
He was great in The Daily Show. Did you watch him play pool in The Daily Show?
Exactly. Just because he's getting into... Barack Obama, like, last year, give no fucks now.
Yeah.
Which, even though Lindsey Graham's
up for election this year.
Even though Lindsey Graham's, like, a horrible, I don't agree with literally anything he stands for.
Nothing.
Him dissing, him going, like, hard after Ted Cruz, and then being honest about, like, yeah, like, I support him because he's a real conservative, but it's also, like, poisoning yourself.
Ted Cruz is a piece of shit, horrible person, but I don't know what else we're going to do, so we got to vote for him.
I love it. Just come out. I would love him hard.
Oh.
Do you think he's gay, Brett?
He's super sassy and he's super Southern
and super bachelor.
And he's a Southern gay man.
Wait, is he married? Is he
no confirmed bachelor?
Oh my god!
Oh yeah,
that was a big thing. It was like, he'd have a rotating first lady. His sister, his cousin.
Oh wow!
Okay, who follows him the most on Twitter? I don't know.
No. It's a very South Carolina secret, is it not, Charlie? That Lindsey Graham is gay.
I don't think anybody from South Carolina knows anybody in any more than anybody else. Ugh. But, you know, he's an older gentleman who's never married, who is probably gay.
I love it. And I don't want to derail and get into my, like, James Buchanan fascination lately. I'm writing a sitcom pilot about James Buchanan, America's secret gay president.
Was he a confirmed bachelor, James Buchanan?
He was gay. He was, like, straight up. Like, all historians agree.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, because so we've already had a gay president.
Yes, in the right before the Civil War. No, he was out, which is the crazy thing.
He was out?
Everyone called, Andrew Jackson had a nickname for him and his life partner, William Rufus King, who was Franklin Pierce's vice president for a hot sec. Andrew Jackson called them Aunt Nancy and Miss Fancy. And everyone referred to either James Buchanan as William Rufus King's better half. They lived together for 10 years.
What about while he was president? Was his life partner in the White House?
No, because William Rufus King was Franklin Pierce's VP, and he got tuberculosis a month into the presidency, and William Rufus King died. And so then they just never replaced him as VP. And so Buchanan... My pilot, like, Buchanan is out. Like, he had already been Secretary of State. He'd been Ambassador to Russia and England. And he was like, I'm done. And then the Democrats were like, we got no one else. We're going to nominate you. And he was like, fuck, they pulled me back in. And so
his boyfriend had died.
Yeah. So he was like a widower. Like, he was also 65. His first lady was his niece that he had adopted because her mother died.
That's
sister.
A thing? I didn't know that was a thing if you don't have a wife
or a
husband. He's also the only one. He's literally
you still have to appoint somebody? Let's just say, like,
Andrew Jackson also his
Yeah,
guy,
I think there's a couple
died.
Things of, like, widowers back in the day having, like, a... It's like basically a social secretary.
So let's say Hillary wins. Bill is the first gentleman. Let's say, God forbid, 2 years in, Bill passes away. Hillary has to, like, find some other dude.
They're also saying that Bill won't be... Bill's a former president, so he already has, like, a slate of duties he has to perform. And he can't do the shit that a first lady does, which is all, like, gendered bullshit anyway that we should, like, actually relegate to, like, White House...
Yeah,
I don't know.
Hopefully, the future female first ladies, if we ever have a male president again, and maybe we won't. The future female first ladies won't have to do any of that shit.
You know what, though? Honestly, I'm feeling more disenfranchised now that you told me there's already been a fucking gay president. So there's been a black president, a gay president, and still no fucking woman.
Oh,
like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Were there newspaper? Were there editorials from the other party? What party was he? Buchanan.
He was Democrat. He was a Democrat.
But this is before
the
Democrats and Republicans switched.
The Washington Post presidential podcast just did their episode about him this past week. So,
but were there?
They talked about how like gay wasn't an identity that people had back then. Like, that wasn't really invented until after that. So he was just like a man that was with another man, and he himself didn't identify.
People weren't thinking about them fucking.
And people, that never came up. And, it might have also never, I don't really know, like, what the attitude was it publicly back then. Because also, presidents led a more private life. There wasn't a 24-hour news cycle that was hounding them all the time.
But like, there's no editorial in some paper in Arkansas that was like, this guy dated a man, let's not vote for him.
I think being gay is a... I think it's a sort of like recent phenomenon of people, relatively recent.
And the Republican right's fear of it also only dates back until like the 50s when the Republicans got super, super
I think
religious.
People just were quiet about stuff. I mean, and then when people started coming out, then
so
they
Lindsey
were like,
Lindsey Graham, come out. Dear God, Lindsey Graham, please come out.
That man is never
Lindsey Graham, if you're listening to this,
please.
Come on the show.
I'm from Columbia, South Carolina. We have a lot in common. Come out on our show.
I would vote for him.
Do it at a live show at the East Bay.
If he is gay, though, how has no one come forward and been like, I've spent a night with
He might
Lindsey
just
Graham.
Be asexual.
Okay, yeah, he might just
His
name is Lindsey
repressed.
Graham. He's from the South. Yeah. I mean,
that doesn't mean, like, everybody in the South has name like Lindsay. I mean, that's not that weird.
Yeah. Oh, Ashley. Ashley.
Lindsay and Ashley. They're a gay couple. Yeah. So while we're on the topic of repressing sexuality and Republicans' issues with sexuality and sex, I want to talk about what I read this week about Ted Cruz being anti-dildo. Do you guys know about this? So
I would just like to say that if dildos are banned, Brett White is going to hell because the amount of dildos we've bought in sketch comedy.
That's all sketch comedians, though. Every sketch comedian.
We have butt plugs.
Which is also, I did a butt plug sketch. But it's also good that the UCB Theater is so close to so many sex stores in Chelsea. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So here's a quote from what Cruz's legal team, I think this was in Texas in 2007, before he was a senator, they wrote in their brief in this case in Texas about whether dildos should be legal. There is no substantive due process right to stimulate one's genitals for non-medical purposes unrelated to procreation or outside of an interpersonal relationship. And he went on to implore the U.S. Court of Appeals to the Fifth District to uphold a Texas law that banned the sale of dildos, artificial vaginas, and other sex devices to uphold public morals.
So
Tabitha, that's worse than Trump, right? Somebody that's like anti-masturbation tools, that's worse than Trump.
Maybe that's why he justifies having five mistresses. I don't know.
Do you really think those five women had sex with him?
Yes.
Oh, seriously? Really?
Ooh, yeah.
Get into that.
I mean, they're real women. Yeah, I think he's a politician.
Really? He's so unattractive.
Was Katrina Pierce one of the five named in that tabloid? I think so.
Who is Katrina Pierce?
The Donald Trump spokeswoman have problems.
She made her Instagram or Twitter private.
Do you think that somebody that hates dildos that much... Like, do you think that they're a secret sex fiend, or do you think he honestly morally believes it? Because, like, the thing is,
I don't want to think about Ted Cruz being a secret sex fiend.
But this is what's insane to me about it. Whether or not you like a dildo, don't like a dildo, who gives a shit about other people having a dildo? Yeah. Like, you're going to shove a fucking cucumber up your puss. Like, I don't care, man, if it's a dildo or a cucumber or whatever.
Whatever is near.
He's like, you do whatever you need to do. It's up to you. Whatever you do. You're going to, like, go into my bedroom and tell me I can't put a dildo up my asshole or my butt.
Like, is the Pope even against sex toys? Like, I know, like, you gotta wear condoms. Like,
at Pontifex. Please answer now. Oh, I don't know. That's... Well, also, it was to win a case, right? Like, so I feel like it's more... I buy it more as an example of, this is an example of Ted Cruz being so cutthroat and heartless that he will literally argue that masturbation should be illegal just to win.
But
because it could come out soon that Ted Cruz is an atheist, and I would 100% believe it, because I think that he is a snake man. Like, I feel like he is such a pathological sociopath, like, liar asshole, that I feel like everything could be a lie, and he's just trying to just get the fuck out.
I mean, yesterday he was trying to paint himself as an outsider.
Yeah.
Right? Like Bernie Sanders, like, whoa. Like, what is happening? How are you aligning yourself with Bernie Sanders all of a sudden?
Well... Yeah, that's insane.
It was bizarre.
But also, isn't it just the whole dildo thing, like, the pursuit of happiness is, like, the third thing. It's, like, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. So that's masturbation. Like,
oh God,
pursuit of happiness means literally giving yourself an orgasm.
Was that literally what the framers meant?
Yes. Yeah. It's, okay, like, life, you get to live. Orgasms. Liberty, you have freedom, and then the pursuit of happiness is orgasm.
It's a victimless crime. If it's a crime, it's a victimless crime.
But it's also like, this is not like Ted Cruz when he wrote a paper 20 years ago when he was in high school or college about masturbation. 2007, he was trying to litigate against the sale of dildos. Not just being like, yeah, you know what, I think... That even somebody like Rick Santorum was like, yeah, I don't like birth control, or, you know, or I don't like premarital sex. But just like, not only do I not like premarital sex, I don't like sex toys. And not only that, I want to make them illegal.
But that's in line with all of their abstinence only sex education that has been, you know.
But a dildo is abstinence, right? Is it not?
No, they don't. No.
Well, you shouldn't masturbate.
They don't, since the 50s, they have not condoned masturbation.
So if you pop that hymen, it's not abstinence.
But also, that's a misnomer, too, because hymens aren't actually things that popped. Some of them, some people don't have a hymen.
It's an expression.
It's a whole thing. But
you meant to say pop that cherry.
Cherry.
do you think that Cruz would be okay with it if you could masturbate with soup cans, because he's clearly obsessed with soup cans.
I think that's his thing. I think that's what he's getting off on. So, the 100 cans of soup.
That's right. Yes, I remember that.
Which
I think his wife is exaggerating. That's 100. Like, that's
so here's what I want to ask about. So if those of you listening don't know, Ted Cruz and Heidi Cruz were on some CNN town hall, and they told this. I think Heidi was telling this story to try to humanize them and make them relatable.
It backfired.
And basically what she said was that they got married, they went on a honeymoon, and then the day they got back from their honeymoon,
that's the crazy thing.
Ted went to the store and bought 100 cans of Chunky Campbell soup and brought it home because she was not a cook. And he was like, well, you're not going to cook, so I got to buy, we got to buy this.
Dickish passive-aggressive thing to do the day after you get back from your honeymoon.
Yes.
What the hell?
Is that how you're reading it?
Jeez.
But the story gets more interesting because Heidi takes the 100 cans of soup, takes them back to the grocery store, and returns them.
Oh.
So apparently, it must have been like a Bed Bath & Beyond.
Women who independent, throw your cans back to the store.
Very, very liberal return policy, wherever this was. And then calls her mom, and her mom says, you shouldn't have done that, so she buys them again for $10.
I've never heard this part of the story. Yeah. I just heard the
what is up with Heidi Cruz's mom? What is up with that?
So poor Heidi Cruz. I mean, I think the moral of the story is like that
she's
woman
trapped.
Is just trapped in a terrible life.
She tried to like sob her way out of it on the side of a road.
Yeah, but I'll be honest, Charlie. I came home once after we were married, and you had bought like 10 boxes of Cheerios.
Okay, well, those were for me. And Rite Aid
wasn't
had.
Because she wasn't going to cook for you or nothing.
No, it was because Rite Aid had an amazing buy one, get one, plus some up reward cash.
I came home and there were Cheerios hidden like on top of our pantry. Like, I was like, what the fuck? He's like, oh, there was a sale. They were like 99 cents a box.
There's a difference between 10 boxes and 100 cans.
But then I called.
Yeah, that is true. My crazy story is 10 boxes.
And I called my mom, and my mom said, do as your husband wishes.
Do unto us the
and
Lord,
then I
your
covered
husband.
Myself in Cheerios.
And also, this has nothing to do with us being married. Like, I was buying things in bulk before we got married.
Yeah, he's really in
bulk.
The
thing is, I was having a lengthy discussion, and someone was like, well, right after college, you're kind of like crazy. And I looked it up. He was 31. He was a 31-year-old. Old man who after he got married
with
100 cans of soup.
He got married at 31? That's really old for somebody from Texas who's a conservative Christian.
Well, it's not old for his face. His face is really unattractive.
He must have been trying to get married for a long time. And
he heard all those stories from college. He was looking all over the place.
He was looking for a human woman to impregnate with his
I'm tired of alien women.
Those poor daughters that also want to get away from him. Every time they're on TV, they're just like, no, shut up, go away.
His college roommate confirmed that he jerked off a bunch in the dorm, too.
Yeah, right? That was a great tweet from him.
But was it with a dildo?
Oh, my God. That's like everybody's worst nightmare, that your college roommate, the person who you shared like a 10 by 10, basically jail cell with, right?
Every
like
gross thing about.
Like the only, you know, like the only strangers you're forced to live with in a place that small, you're either in jail or you're a freshman in college. Yeah. And have that person who share that space with you be on Twitter revealing all of your stories while you're running for president.
I lived in a single room my freshman year.
He's okay with masturbation if it's for dudes. He's not okay with masturbation for
dudes. No. This law also banned artificial vaginas.
Oh, come on. No, but it's still the same thing. They don't like the idea of a woman having a plastic thing that they don't need a guy for.
What's wrong with a good old-fashioned bottle of lotion?
Yeah.
And your fist.
And I honestly do think, I think this comes down, maybe this is the woman in me, and this is why hashtag I'm with her, but I do think that men hate that women enjoy sex.
Mm.
That sex is something that women are supposed to endure, and that men want it all the time and women never want it, and they're just supposed to lie there and let a guy do it to them.
Yes.
Don't like it when women have power and women say, no, sex feels good and I like
it. We want to go buy dildos, Ted.
Yeah. And they don't like it when men have sex with other men because that feels good too or whatever.
It's great.
Like, the power is gone for them. A man wants to stab his penis into a vagina and get that seed way up in her. Oh, and God. If it's used for any other purpose, they don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, I
could go off for like 4 hours about how men hate women that like sex.
I think the thing to take from this story, though, is that if Cruz somehow does win the nomination, he's a terrible fucking candidate.
Oh, God.
I think if any of these crazy conservative Christians ever get the nominee, they're going to lose in a landslide. Even like Santorum, you can't be anti-premarital sex. You can't be anti-birth control. Yeah. Like, birth control was part of the conversation the last primary with these nuts. And you can't be anti-masturbation and be president of the United States.
That's a sketch premise. Like, that is so outlandish. That is a sketch premise on like a 10-1 at SNL.
Well, you can't get that for people with New York values. You know, New York values are masturbation.
What's your position on masturbation?
Let's talk about New York values briefly, because I think we said in this show a long time ago that we were so pissed off that Ted Cruz got away with like running down the state of New York.
And he did not.
Didn't get away with it. Oh, it came back to haunt him.
I love all the footage of him going to the Bronx and just getting yelled at.
Get the fuck out of the Bronx.
Side note, I was also really awkward to watch Kasich go to like Jewish schools and try to explain to them about David.
Yeah, he's like talking about Jesus and shit.
Like, what? Oh, that like putting the blood on the lamppost comments?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, like
the connection between the hyper-conservative Christians and the super religious Jewish population is so crazy to me, because I know that the hyper conservative Christians think that the Jewish people are going to hell, but for some reason they can somehow get their votes.
But don't they actually need to have a good relationship with the Jewish people so that they can go back, because the Holy Land, like, isn't there something?
Does the Jewish population want to vote for? I mean, this is a specific, these were Hasidic Jews, I think, who he was with. I don't know if they actually liked him or not, but I don't know.
One Manhattan?
I think he won Donald Trump's district. Yeah. It was like the Upper East Side.
He won all of Manhattan.
Which makes sense, because people in Manhattan are smart.
Yeah, if you're a Wall Street trader and you're going to vote for Kasich amongst those three.
Someone who grew up in New York.
Oh, yeah.
I'm tired of seeing his fucking Trump signs everywhere. Like, he's always been such a piece of garbage to me growing up. Like, my grandparents and parents would go to his fucking, I don't know, Taj Mahal or like whatever that casino was in New Jersey. And it's like, great, whoop-de-doo. Like, bring home his lotions. Like, we'd have like his sample lotions from the hotel. It was just, he's always been such a joke. And that's why it's so weird to me that the rest of the country's like, yes, he's a businessman, like Warren Buffett, like a real, real businessman. And it's like, no,
he's a joke.
He cheated on Ivanka Trump and with Marla Maples, and that was a thing. And I got to see all of that as a child. You know, he's just a giant joke.
Yeah.
So, do you guys think he's going to win? Is it going to be Hillary Trump at this point for sure?
Yeah. Well, I do.
Bernie's mathematically out, right? It seems that way.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, are you Jeff Weaver last night on MSNBC with Steve Kornacki?
Yeah, that was interesting. I want to talk about that, because everybody's talking about that. We watched that last night as it was airing. So Jeff Weaver, who's from the Bernie Sanders campaign. Bernie just got on a plane and went to
Vermont. He was like, I'm going to
Vermont, and we'll see what he says.
Yeah, peace out.
You know, when this releases tomorrow, maybe he will have spoken, but as of now, he hasn't. I'm hoping he's thinking about it, and I kind of hope Bernie's like, let's get behind Hillary. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I also think it is good for Hillary if he stays in for a while, because
As long as Bernie, I don't even know, like, I don't even think a lot of it is on Bernie. I actually think that the speech is, the thing is, like, Bernie will say something about Hillary, and then his constituents will, or his followers will boo. And then Bernie, that's when I want Bernie to pull, like, a McCain in 08 or whenever, and be like, no, Hillary is a good person.
Well, there. Hold on.
This is the first time that moment's come up in this podcast, and I want to talk about that moment, because I hate the way that moment is discussed. So you're referring to when a woman said
that Obama was like a secret Muslim.
Obama is a Muslim.
Yeah.
And this was at like a town hall kind of thing. And McCain's response, and he gets so much credit and praise, and he's so honorable, and he's so amazing that he did this. He said, no, ma'am. He's not. He's a good person.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a terrible thing to say, because the implication is that Muslims is a bad person.
Yeah.
And he gets a total fucking pass on that. And I hear everybody, all the pundits on TV are like, this candidate needs to be more like McCain and turn the other cheek and tell their crazy supporters.
No.
McCain did not do that.
But Charlie,
McCain said he's not a Muslim. He's a good person.
He did shut her down.
And Charlie, I think that the more important thing is.
Okay, but what if it had been like.
Charlie, I get what you're saying. I agree. The point that he was making is he's been hearing this and all the stump speeches from all these people. And that he knows what her secret underlying thing is.
Yeah.
Right. When she says he's a secret Muslim, she doesn't mean he knows that means
but
a bad thing.
She thinks it's bad.
And
I know.
So when he responds, it.
I also think it's like I do might understand be the best improviser too.
Exactly.
Just like my gut reaction to this thing is just to be like, he's a good person. I don't want anyone like.
Right.
I think
so
it
was
just came,
saying,
which is a came from a good place from McCain. But let's not say that is the moment where he was the best when he basically said indirectly, Muslims are bad people.
Yeah.
But to be fair, Charlie, you also
had he in that moment. Let me just finish one thing because I've been mad about this for 8 years. Had he in that moment said, no, ma'am, he's not a Muslim. And even if he was, that doesn't matter because Muslims are good people.
Yes.
That would have
been
amazing.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yes.
So he got halfway there.
Yes.
Let's not fucking.
Which most Republicans don't even like get their foot out the door.
Yeah. But he's been shown to say the same joke over and over and over again. So
what is that joke?
I don't know.
Something about people seeing him at the airport. Isn't it something like that?
Something like that.
So like, he was like John McCain. And he's like. I don't know.
None of us remember.
Something about getting sleep. I don't know.
So I just, to get back to the Jeff Weaver thing. So last night, Jeff Weaver from Bernie's campaign started talking about superdelegates. I'm so fucking tired of superdelegates. I was bummed out about it 8 years ago talking about it. The Democratic Party has these party leaders, not random people, but party leaders who are probably your senator or your state senator, former presidents.
Ooh.
who Who are only there in a situation where they need to step in and fix the situation.
Trump situation.
A Trump type situation. And the Republicans do wish that they had superdelegates right now. But the narrative from the Sanders campaign was this is wrong. The superdelegates should not overturn the will of the people.
Yeah.
And they've been talking for months and months and months about these evil Hillary superdelegates that are going to turn the tide. And now that Hillary is probably likely going to win the electoral votes, is going to win the popular vote. This Jeff Weavers last night is saying that, but she doesn't poll as well. Therefore, the superdelegates should be on our side.
They're trying to plot what Republicans are plotting of snatching it away from the popular vote people.
I mean, I think if between now and the convention, the FBI finishes their investigation, and I don't think this will happen, but there's some bombshell of like, oh, Hillary's going to jail because of she wrote an email or whatever. I don't think that's going to happen. But if it does, then yes, the superdelegates should step in.
I don't know. I feel like Hillary could still, from jail, beat Donald Trump.
Apparently, Trump might go to jail as well.
Oh.
Because his plane has been expired. Like, the permit for his plane has been expired.
It's not registered. Yeah.
And one of the repercussions of that is, like, going to jail for 3 years.
Really?
3 years? Oh, yeah, please. I mean, that's not going to happen.
But you know what? We're going to find out that Trump doesn't actually own his plane. That somebody else owns it. We're going to be like, actually.
China owns it.
His name's on it, but like, China owns it.
Yeah, Corey is going to jail.
But like,
Corey
Lewandowski
is going
to jail. My faith in Bernie being a good human being, which I think
he is.
I think that he would not advocate stealing an election away from the popular vote.
I don't think
whereas
this is
the Republicans,
matter.
I can 100% see that convention going to be contested.
But the crazy thing about it is just that the Bernie campaign was on the opposite side of superdelegates like a month ago.
Yeah.
And that's what's crazy.
But it's also like I also have such a hatred for like Tad Devine and Jeff Weaver and whoever Hillary. I just don't in general like any campaign manager that gets on any of these shows because their job is to be hella biased. And like no truth is supposed to come out of their mouth.
But
and
I
it's
also,
like, why do you even ask them anything?
But it's also it's a media bias, not bias, but it's a problem in the way the media reports it. So we all know that if the popular vote and the electoral math goes to a candidate, like never historically have they changed their mind and gone with someone else. So,
and I think you have to throw the popular vote out too. I mean,
I think
Hillary even talking about the popular vote's a little sketchy because that doesn't matter either.
Okay, fine. But my point is that the way the the way that the media is reporting it is like, oh, and also, yeah, it's this way, but he also has this now. And so, or she has this now. She lost this, but she's getting this because of the superdelegates. So they're the ones that are sort of pushing this narrative.
Yeah.
That, like, yeah, I guess the superdelegates are going for her per state, but really they're not going to make their mind up till the... like till the primary or till the convention, and the, and then they're going to go with the person that gets it because that's how it is.
She won last night by 17 points.
Oof.
I mean, come on, right? Like, no one expected her. No one expected her to be close to 20%. Yeah. Like, it's pretty much clinched, but it's not. We're going to wait till June 7th, which is annoying. So,
well, no, but that's what they did between Obama and
I think
what they did was they're encouraging him, hey, stay in because it's good for us because we're still technically battling, but like change the narrative. Don't be so negative.
I hope it's not as nasty as it was this week from either side. And if they both stay in,
and that's what Hillary did when it was clear that Obama was actually going to win.
Yeah. Although 8 years ago, I was ready for Hillary to drop out and I was mad that she didn't because I was for Obama. And, you know, it's going to be all right.
Okay, so Donald Trump accidentally, we always have to bring up something stupid that Donald Trump said. He accidentally said 7-Eleven in a stump speech instead of 9-11, which is hilarious. But should mistakes like this be a big deal or not? What do you think, Tabitha?
Yes. Yes.
This one wasn't that big of a deal. Like, I feel like,
but should
know.
It be?
It didn't make like the nightly news.
Explain yourself.
Didn't
should
correct
it be?
Himself like at all, he right? He didn't like adjust. Did he?
He didn't realize he did it.
No, he didn't even. It didn't even faze him that he did that. And it's like 9-11 should be rolling off your tongue like muscle memory.
Also, especially him, because he's played up the fact that like when Ted Cruz went on New York Values, he was like, "I was at 9-11." Like, didn't he have this like recent thing of like, "I was at 9-11, all ground zero helping clean up."
And yeah,
like, it's
yeah.
like, come on.
Also, I think about 7-11 a lot, and I think about 9-11 a lot. And I've never the twain shall meet. I'm never confused.
Only just came here recently.
Yeah.
So come on.
Donald Trump has never in his life set foot in a 7-Eleven. Like literally never.
He's never.
He's never
2 a.m. hot dog.
No.
He's never needed.
He's never been in a bodega, period, I would imagine. Ever.
Arianna Huffington, who has been really big, she wrote a book about sleep and how important sleep is. And I agree with her 100%. 8 hours a night, and I have a kid. That's how I live my life.
You are so special.
No, I'm not special.
We're
it's
lucky
a priority.
That we have a You're kid that sleeps.
No, so I don't like when people say that because it's actually a priority.
We sleep trained and we worked really hard,
worked
but there
really
might be some kids
it.
Who are unsleep trainable.
Sure. Sure, you might have a special needs child that, but no, I'm serious. I'm serious. It is a priority for me. And it and there are exceptions to the rule, but you can make yourself sleep again. And I don't like that implication. I'm drunk and I'm getting off on sleep. But
do not make me feel bad for sleeping too much.
I sleep a shit ton and I need it. And that's my life. And I'm happy.
Donald Trump is sleep deprived. Maybe that's why he said 7-Eleven.
That's what Ryan Huffington said.
I would say, I don't know. If Hillary made that goof up, I would probably be like, oh, it's fine. But as part of me, it's like it's Donald Trump.
If Hillary had said 7-Eleven, you know it would have been on the front page of the Post.
It would have been horrible. It would have been horrible.
She would have been like, can you imagine if Hillary said 7-Eleven? She would have been like, oh, shit.
I also can't picture her doing that.
No.
I also, like, I just flat out can't.
I
can
gotta say,
Donald
anybody
Trump
can switch one number for another number.
It's a real funny number.
It is crazy to say 7-Eleven and not 9-11.
Doesn't do any research on anything he talks about. Like abortion. Like, women should get punished. Like, even Poland doesn't punish women who get abortions. And Poland doesn't let anyone get abortions. Like, are you...
Oh, really? Is there no abortion in Poland?
Right now, it's like rape, incest, and life of the mother, and they're trying to fix it.
That's more than some Republican candidates.
They're trying to fix it where it's even less than that.
Well, how can you prove a woman was raped? Most of them lie.
I will say that it
JK, everyone. JK, don't write me emails.
It should be hard to conflate a terrorist attack with a convenience store chain. But the number 7 and 9, I will give somebody the benefit of the doubt.
They're giving a lot of speeches all day. But my point is,
a joke.
That people talk about how polished Hillary is, and she wants this so bad, and she's been, you know, working on this for her whole life. But I sort of feel like as a president, every fucking thing you say now is under the microscope.
Yeah.
So the fact that he can make a small mistake like that and not immediately go, oh my God, I'm so sorry, or whatever.
Did he ever address it?
I don't think so.
think so, but I don't know for sure. But I think that the fact that that mistake can be made, if you say the wrong thing in front of the wrong foreign leader, like World War III starts. Oh,
do you guys think on 9/11/2001, there were like some people at 7-Eleven corporate that were like, this tragedy is kind of similar to our store.
We need to rebrand.
Do we need to rebrand? probably not.
No. I'm going to write a specs pilot about this exact thing.
We're now 24/7.
I want to talk about one thing that Obama's talked about this week. Like, I'm really hoping that these next, what do we have left in the year, 7-8 months of Obama is just going to be home run after home run, where he does whatever he wants to do. His latest thing is he wants to take on Time Warner and Comcast and cable providers.
Yeah, well, he does.
Yeah, he wants to have more competition in the set-top box. You can see in our living room, we have a Time Warner cable box, and he made this point that, like, there's no competition. The DVR cable boxes that you get, they're not innovating, and that it should be more of an open market, and we're going to look to areas where markets should be more open. And that's his general thing, is that his administration is going to try to make sure all markets are open and that there's competition and blah, blah, blah. But specifically, his example is like, cable boxes suck, right? We all hate cable boxes.
Yeah.
And I think this is maybe the easiest political stance he's taken in his presidency. Like, who in the world besides lobbyists for the cable industry
coming after him now?
What human is like, well, I love my cable box.
I live where I live in Queens. I can get Time Warner or I can have nothing. Like, it's all like, that's it. Yeah, I have no. And before, when I moved, I could get RCN or nothing. Like, that's
so Obama is trying to make it so we have an Apple TV too, but we can't get our cable through the Apple TV. And Obama's trying to make it so you can.
Oh,
I love Roku.
Why couldn't I have voted for him for a third time?
I hope that these last 8 months are just like, you know, the equivalent of the student council member giving you the Coke machine in every room or whatever. Like, I hope
every day.
Oh, man. And it is 4:20, and I'm still holding out hope that maybe before the end of the year, Obama's going to do an executive order that just is three words and it just says weed is legal, and that's it. He just drops the pen and walks out. It is 4:20, and I saw a thing today that I think for the first time there was a recent poll, 51% of the country is ready for legal weed.
Yeah. Woo-woo.
So it's coming.
Do you guys think that my long time stance is I don't understand why a candidate just didn't say I'm running on legal weed? Because talk about like getting all the youth vote. Yeah. Everyone be like, yeah, I'll go out and vote for that. Great. Like,
Bernie could have doubled his rallies.
Bernie wanted to talk about anything other than Wall Street, maybe we would know.
No, but to be fair, Bernie did say that marijuana should be taken off Schedule 1.
Good. And absolutely.
He did say that. And I hope he makes Hillary say it.
Bernie's a cool fucking dude, and he's right. And I think, but if Hillary wants to get more voters, she should be like, I want to legalize pot. And then guess what?
Edibles. No. She should be like eating gummy bears. Like,
or
on the,
rubbing
on the,
that like cream. That could she really do it? Like, suggesting.
Who? Here's my question. Who are the people that are planning to vote for Hillary who she would lose if she came out for total decriminalization of pot? Legalization, but decriminalization. Is there anybody that's like, well, now I'm going to vote for Trump because
white Christian moms?
Are they voting for her?
They're not voting.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think, because I mean, like, I personally, like, I don't personally understand weed. I don't like weed. I don't do
it's
the
420,
weed.
420, bro.
It's 420. I know I'm like sacrilegious.
You think people should go to jail for life if they smoke?
Exactly. No. But it's still like. But and I think it's also because of my like. I'm like a Southern Christian upbringing. And so that, but I also don't think it should be illegal. I also definitely don't think that it's like worse than beer.
I'd rather have someone driving on the road that's high than drunk.
Fucking drunk. Like, geez.
Also, I don't think a lot of like high college kids are raping people. I think it's more drunk ones.
It's nuts.
I don't know. Don't quote me on that.
It's a dumb thing to be illegal. And I'm someone that doesn't even care to ever do it. And I'm like, it's stupid. But I don't know who she would lose if she.
Drug offenses should be decriminalized. You know, mandatory minimums should be changed. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, it's a bigger issue than just pot, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think it should all be decriminalized and treated as a public health problem.
Yeah.
Which is what it is.
Bernie says, too.
Yeah. I need to go back and vote for Bernie.
Well, since the laws have changed in New York, like, Charlie and I went on a bike ride the other day with our kid. It was literally on the West Side Highway. Every 10 feet was like, Pot smoke.
Yeah,
pot smoke.
New York. Have you guys noticed New York has gotten dank?
Oh, wait, is it legal here now? Or
it has been decriminalized where you mostly will get like a summons.
You get a citation, yeah.
Same as if you were caught drinking.
Open container.
I just smell it in my apartment hallway every day. That's about it, though. I never
leave. We smell it in our building now, too.
You can have open containers of alcohol, too. I mean, apparently de Blasio is like, we're not going to.
They need to get smarter about that. Charlie and I have a thing of coffee cups. We pour our cappuccinos into our coffee cups.
You air quoted that.
I air quoted, yeah. Because a beer poured into a coffee cup looks like a cappuccino. Yeah. And we've been doing that
as long
for years.
As you have a white face and you're not being stopped and frisked.
Yeah.
That's true. But every
we have a little bit of privilege that I think we pour our beer
Nobody suspects us when we walk down the street with our child and two coffee cups.
I don't think we've ever walked around with our child. This is when we have a
babysitter.
In Central
Park? Yes, in Central Park. Yes.
A picnic in Central Park with beer and coffee cups.
Guys, we raise our child, we are wasted constantly with our child.
New Yorkers.
Beer was one of the first words our child learned.
Yeah, he's like, beer. He doesn't know soda, he knows beer.
Decriminalized to have open containers.
Yeah.
And the world hasn't fallen apart.
No.
But I will say, this pot smoke in New York can be a little overwhelming. Like, literally, like, we were biking down the West Side Highway. It was like the first beautiful spring day. And, you know, there's parkland on the other side of the bike path there. And it was like every 5 minutes, like, oh, somebody's smoking up under that tree. You know, whatever. It smells better than cigarette smoke. I'll say that.
Yeah. I kind of like the smell of tobacco.
Mm. Oh, my God. What?
Just like in an open air situation.
Pipes are
Not like in a room, like a to get like a
I spent way too much time in college going to like concert, like rock shows and bars, and then coming home drenched in cigarette smoke. It's gross.
I don't want everyone to be high all the time. That would be annoying, as if everyone in the country was high at the same time. That would
but people have their lives. I don't think that's happening in Colorado, right?
But also, I don't think I want heroin to be legal.
Oh, no.
Because that, you know, I mean,
you
can
overdose on it and die.
Right. But I think
you can't overdose on pot, right?
Pot has,
you can kill yourself with a knife. Should knives be illegal?
Exactly.
Yes, they should be illegal.
It's a public health problem.
I know, but I do think that there's something to be said for, you know, we've been to Amsterdam. I don't know if I want to take my kid to a park where people are allowed to shoot up in the open. Yeah. I do think it should be treated people shouldn't be sent to prison. But but I do think pot was lumped in.
Well, we already took our kid to a park where somebody was shooting up in the open. So he got over it. I
mean, we did that in New York. No, seriously, on a Sunday morning.
That's a break. Could
have been insulin, guys.
No, it wasn't. And when I told the cops, they said, and I quote, "Welcome to de Blasio's New York."
Jeez.
Yeah, I went on a sort of rampage about it for a while with our parks in our neighborhood.
Very stereotypical.
I mean,
My city councilman hasn't emailed me back. So, hey, Corey Johnson, get the fuck on it and email me back.
We want Corey Johnson to come on our show, actually.
Yeah, so Corey, come on the show and talk about it.
All right, we're almost out of time. Quick final topic, light topic. You guys excited about Harriet Tubman being on the 20?
Yeah. 2030. Let's do it.
Yeah, it's always a long way away. And also Andrew Jackson.
Wait, it's not happening until 2030?
Wait, seriously?
Yeah, it's a
What?
Yeah. That's why everyone's getting so like into it now, but I read like the New York Times article was like, implemented in the next decade.
That's not even the next decade.
What the fuck are you talking about?
That's 14 years from now.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
So it's not going to change for a long, so I don't know why they
like the minimum wage changing. Like, whoop-de-doo.
I also don't know why it takes that long.
Yeah.
And then also Andrew Jackson's still going to be on the back of it. They were like,
really?
They're putting a slave owner on the back of the fucking.
That came out a couple hours ago that they're like, and there will be like an Andrew Jackson, like he will be featured on the back of it, like maybe a picture of like his statue or something.
Who is the Andrew Jackson lobby that like made that happen? Is it fans of the Broadway musical Bloody Buddy Andrew Jackson our friend Jeff Hiller was in?
If you get immortalized in a musical.
Jeff, are you lobbying?
Man, you can never be moved off that.
I think it is funny though, because everybody is saying that the musical Hamilton and Lin-Manuel Miranda are part of the reason why Hamilton got saved on the 10. But it's just funny that the 10 and the 20 both have presidents who were part of Broadway musicals.
It's also like coming down to the guy that invented the banks.
Yeah.
Yes. Hamilton.
Let versus, him stay in the money.
Versus the guy that hated them and wanted to destroy all. Like, get him off.
And it's a no-brainer to get rid of Andrew Jackson, and that's a bullshit asterisk that he's on the back. I didn't know that.
And also, like, he didn't like James Buchanan, so he was a homophobe.
Oh, well, on that note, fuck you, Andrew Jackson. Harriet Tubman, you are the bomb, and we love you.
She's great.
So we're wrapping up here. We have a show. Our next live show is not for a little while. It is on the 31st of May.
We think. Is the schedule up?
The schedule is up. It's great. On the 31st of May. So we'll probably do at least one more home recording show before then. So stay tuned. But you can get tickets now at ucbtheater.com for our show.
Get those
on the 31st.
Tickets. We sell out every month, guys. People are just loving to come to our show.
I endorse that show.
Brad White was on the front row.
Yeah.
And now he's here in our living room.
See, Tabitha this could happen has been to you. Shows too.
I approve this message. Yeah.
So thank you, Brett. Thank you, Tabitha. This has been great. How do you guys feel?
Great.
I just want Chris Hayes to know that I love him.
Chris Hayes is a dream guest of ours.
Unfortunately, I feel like our show is always at the same time as his show.
Maybe we could get him over to our apartment on a weekend.
And one time
we'll see.
We're going to work on it. And one time he retweeted gifts that I made of him. So.
Really?
Whoa, dude.
Well,
I made a bunch of Chris Hayes reaction gifts just for use in my everyday life.
We didn't even get into your MSNBC obsession.
I have
obsession.
A top 10. You can follow me on Twitter at Brett White and just dive into my mini MSNBC crushes.
You're the only person I think we know that likes MSNBC more than
Peter
us.
Alexander.
So. Peter Alexander was standing outside of my polling place on Tuesday, and I fucking flipped my shit.
Mark Murray, hot.
He was waving at
Thomas
he
Roberts? You Thomas Roberts
no,
guy?
No, Thomas, because I like nerdier guys.
But Thomas Roberts is actually gay.
I know.
Doesn't matter. I mean, you can have a crush on somebody with their gay straight.
Why am I forgetting his name? Peter Williams? Pete Williams?
Pete Williams is gay. You know he's gay.
Gay.
I didn't know he was
adorable.
Gay.
We just found out he was gay. Yeah.
Yeah, we Google all of them. We know everything. I think I saw Katie Turr interviewing someone outside her apartment, too.
I love the Road Warriors.
Yeah, they have so many women
Casey
on the road.
Hunt,
well,
Walker.
Tabitha's a
Charlie
big fan
Rose.
Of Charlie Rose.
That's my man.
Which is funny because that's Charlie's first name and my middle name. My middle name is Rose.
And he's from North Carolina.
So all right. We're just chatting now, so we can continue that after the show's over. So get tickets to our next show, and please like and make a comment on our show.
Good comment.
We have two comments on iTunes right now. One is positive. One is somebody saying this show is just bashing conservatives, which is probably true, but it's not intended for conservatives.
This episode didn't change your mind.
Actually, I think we're going to get a conservative on the show real soon.
Hopefully.
That'll be exciting.
Stay tuned.
So,
subscribe. Like, we'll chat with you soon.
Vote in midterm elections, everybody. Good night.
Good night.